second and goal. Baldwin sets up on the left. Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler. Unreal. Malcolm Butler, who almost made the phenomenal play that wound up in Percy's arms. There are flags on the field for a celebration. Amazing. Butler, a rookie free agent out of West Alabama.
They tried a pick play, Al. They tried to go here, but he beats them to the punch. And I'm sorry, but I can't believe the call.
Me neither.
I cannot believe the call. You've got Marshawn Lynch in the backfield. You've got a guy that's been borderline unstoppable in this part of the field. I can't believe the call.
Michaels and Chris Collinsworth on the call in Super Bowl 49. And it's been 2 years, and I still can't believe the call. But it's that call and Malcolm Butler that make the Super Bowl exactly what we want and hope it to be. A single game that creates true unsung heroes that one day changes their lives and makes history. I believe we're having one of those guys on the show today. Hey, good morning. It is, in fact, Super Bowl Sunday. I'm Brian Feldman, and this is, in fact, Out of Line. If you're tuning in for the first time and you like what you hear, or even if you don't, we're here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 on Fox Sports 1340 and streaming on LVSportsNetwork.com. Today, we are live from one of my favorite spots in Las Vegas, Buffalo Wild Wings in the Montecito Crossing Plaza. Please come on down, have a Bloody Mary, and catch a Fox Sports T-shirt. We'll be throwing them out throughout the show. And to my left is one of the hardest working, most underpaid, and the happiest man on the Las Vegas Sports Radio Network. And it's my good friend and colleague, Chris Wynn. Among many other duties, Chris is a regular co-host on the Seat and Ed Show, heard weekdays on Fox. Also, here is Lotus Broadcasting on-site remote specialist, Brad Restituto. I hope I didn't butcher that name. And back in the Fox Sports studio, future Hall of Fame producer, Chris Magnum Chapman. On the guest microphone, here in person, to steal my thunder and do his own feature, my man, Bubby.
Time for What's on Tap. Pouring out thanks to Bubby's University.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
There you go.
Okay. Time for What's on Tap, pouring out thanks to Bubby's University. As you mentioned, Brian, it's Super Bowl Sunday, so if you don't like football, let me fill you in on something. You are tuned in to Fox Sports Radio. Today's first guest is Mike Jones. No, not the rapper. This Mike Jones is best known for making the tackle that saved the game for the St. Louis Rams in Super Bowl 34. Then, right here this morning, live at Buffalo Wild Wings, UNLV head football coach Tony Sanchez will join the show. If you have questions for Coach, like I said, he will be here. Stay tuned for Blazin' and Fact This. And if you want a Fox Sports t-shirt, there's plenty, so come on in. Brian Feldman and Chris Wynn will literally be tossing them out throughout the show. There are also some great giveaways happening here this morning, including tickets to UNLV football and basketball games, tickets to see the Las Vegas 51s, great dining certificates, wing parties, and an opportunity to co-host a future show on Fox Sports Radio. On tap at Bubby's University, earn your degree in beer, sports, and fun, where the only majors are debauchery and good times. Bring your Rebel ID and your first beer is free. You can enroll 24 hours a day. Bubby's University at 4570 South Hualapai between Tropicana and Flamingo. Go to bubbysuniversity.com for more information. I'm Bubby, and that's What's on Tap.
That's pretty damn good, isn't it? Bubby's University, love the place. Suggest you check it out. And two things before you take off, Bubby. You got to give us your pick on today's game. Who's going to win and why, man?
Well, the money is on the Falcons, and I think they are going to come out hot. They're going to come out fast. They're definitely going to cover that first quarter line, and then we're just going to celebrate from there.
Okay, I like it. And the second thing is I want you to take a certificate right here. It's $25 at Bubby's, and as you're exiting, make sure you hand that to somebody out here that's visiting. We don't got a lot of choices. It's one. It's a Tweedledee or Tweedledum, I think. So, I mean, that's what we got going. So, hand that out. We appreciate it. And Bubby's University, man, check the place out. It's awesome. Great place. I love it. And right now, we're at Buffalo Wild Wings. Come on down. We're at the Montecito Crossing Plaza. Hey, we're quiet. We got plenty of room. That's for damn sure. Coach Sanchez will be down here in a few. Listen, Chris, I want to ask you. I want to start by saying two words and get your detailed response. Tom Brady.
This game right here is not a culmination, because there is a possibility Tom Brady could continue to play in Super Bowls and continue his career that's been illustrious up to this point, to say the least. But I think everybody is kind of in agreement across the board that if he does win this football game, right, it almost puts him over the top when you start making the comparisons to the other quarterback greats in the history of the game. And, of course, that main name that comes up is the guy that he idolized as a young guy growing up in Northern California, and that is Joe Montana, right? Joe Montana, 4 Super Bowl championships. A lot of people, a majority of NFL fans, believe that he is the best quarterback of all time. So if Tom Brady and the Patriots are able to get this done and knock out a Super Bowl win, then basically the belief is that he eclipses him and becomes that guy. There's people out there that already think Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time, and they got a beef when it comes to that, and it's understandable. But if they are able to actually get this win, and he's able to get the one for the thumb and put that fifth ring on his hand, then I think that's really going to solidify it for him.
There's only one other player in NFL history that has 5 Super Bowl rings, and his name's Charles Haley. Right. Coupled with those Niners, coupled with the Cowboys, and there's only one guy besides Tom Brady that's played in 6 Super Bowls. Only one. And his name is Mike Lodish. Nobody knows about this guy. 4 times he made it with the Buffalo Bills, and he made it twice with the Denver Broncos, which is where he got his 2 rings. But Mike Lodish's record, bye-bye. Tom Brady now stands alone as of this afternoon. 7 Super Bowls. It's unprecedented. It's amazing. Magnum, back there in the studio, Tom Brady is 40 years old come August. In 2008, which is 9 seasons ago, he had complete reconstructive knee surgery in his early 30s. This season, he had the second highest passer rating of his career. And in 12 games, threw for over 3,500 yards, 28 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. Right now, if I could have one quarterback out of the entire league for only one game, I would probably choose a 39-year-old man to quarterback my team, and that would be Tom Brady. The only guy I would consider other than Brady might be Aaron Rodgers, and I'm saying might. 39 years old. Megs, is there anybody better in the history of football? You are a New England Patriots hater. You're a Jets fan. I want to hear it from you, brother.
No. There's lots of people better. Well, maybe not lots, but there are quarterbacks better than him. I'll take John Elway, and I'll take Joe Montana over him. They don't have the asterisks, for starters. No Spygate for John Elway. No Spygate for
Jets fan.
For Joe Montana. No recording. None of that stuff. And you know what? Montana never lost a Super Bowl. And if you look at Joe Montana, I believe it was the 88-89 seasons, 2 years in a row. He played 6 playoff games, 19 touchdown passes, 1 interception. He could have thrown for 8 or 9 touchdowns against the Broncos in that one Super Bowl. Those 2 seasons, I don't know if anybody's ever had a stretch in the playoffs better than Montana in those 2 years. I mean, he threw 1 interception. He threw multiple 300-yard games. The only interception he threw was in the first game, which came against the Vikings. So then he went 5 straight playoff games, including 2 Super Bowls, without throwing an interception. I'll take Montana. I'll take Elway. Elway made a couple Super Bowls with nobody. Never had a running game. He was throwing the guys named Ricky Natiel and Vance Johnson. I think those guys were selling cars somewhere. So while Brady's good, I'm taking those 2 guys over him.
I got to tell you, though, Mags, I got to refute your point, and I got to use actually part of what you just said against you. Because think about what Tom Brady has had at the helm with him going to battle in some of these Super Bowls.
Talk about
Are you really kidding me? Troy Brown. I can't even name some of the wide receivers that are on that 2001 team that knocked that basically an upset victory.
Here we go. I'll end the argument by saying the year that Tom Brady got hurt, Matt Cassel, who is one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL, went 11-5. I'm not so sure it's Tom Brady all the way. Granted, the guy's great. Don't get me wrong. But Bill Belichick and the scheme they play and the dink and dunking that they do has a lot to do with his success. Because if Jimmy Garoppolo can come in and go, 3-0? And then if you bring in Matt Cassel, who goes 11-5, they almost win the division with Matt Cassel. The guy can't even play on the Texans. He's so bad. I think a lot of it is scheme. Some of it, or most of it, is Belichick. And Brady definitely excels in that system. But I'm not so sure if you put Brady on another team, he's the same guy.
Oh,
Joe Montana.
Lord,
Joe Montana took the Kansas City
Mags
Chiefs.
Mags smoking the good stuff today.
No.
Mags. I mean, Mags. Hey, I understand it. Mags knows his football, knows his sports, and he's a diehard, bleeding green and white New York Jets fan. I like green and white for other reasons. That's from East Lansing, Michigan.
Right.
But Mags, come on. Tom Brady is an absolute anomaly. He is playing. You know, everything you said, I can understand. He is 39 years old and had complete reconstructive knee surgery. Let me say it again. 8 years ago when he was in his early 30s, the guy is now pushing 40 years old, is playing at the top of his game. I'll say again, statistically, the second best season of his career, and he missed four games and still threw 28 touchdown passes. That's more than 70% of the quarterbacks in the league that didn't miss a single game.
Well, hey, They played nobody in their schedule. They played the easiest schedule in the NFL this year. They never played an opposing quarterback who was any good. I mean, you're playing the Bills, the Jets, and the Dolphins for six games. I mean, that's
Max.
They
I'm
played
not even
the Browns.
Hey, I don't want to take too much time on this, but I will say this much. You know, the one thing I'll say with Brady is anybody out there that wants to tell me that it was his deflated balls that made him a great quarterback, you're out of your mind, first of all. That had nothing to do with his winning streak. Bill Belichick, absolutely. I am a huge advocate of stating just what I heard Michael Irvin state not long ago, and I don't agree with Michael Irvin on a great many things, but on this I do. When Bill Belichick decides to take his ass out of the NFL, he is going to be on the trophy, and he better damn well be. It's either got to be the Lombardi Belichick trophy or just change the name. He has earned that. Seven Super Bowls. I'm not going to say, but Tom Brady, 17 years later, there's nobody left in the league other than, I think, Adam Vinatieri that was around when Brady first started playing football. It is amazing what this guy did as the oldest non-kicking player in the league, and he is playing like a 27-year-old. To say he's not the greatest of all time, no, I don't want to say it. He went to Michigan, for God's sake. But I'm saying it. Tom Brady, greatest quarterback of all time. Listen, we got to take a break here in 1 second. I just wanted to add, Matt Ryan did last night get awarded the MVP award. Justifiable this year. Okay, Matty Ice might have been cold, literally, the last couple of years. But let me tell you something. It could have gone to Aaron Rodgers. It could have gone to Tom Brady. But all those out there, Dallas fans, that think it should have gone to Dak Prescott or Ezekiel Elliott, let me tell you one fact. Take a look at the roster of the NFC Pro Bowl, and you will see three Dallas Cowboys starting on the offensive line. Okay, not that Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott aren't amazing and had great years, but the offensive line had something to do with that. MVP, not. Matt Ryan, you deserved it. I'm happy for him. Listen, we got to go to break. On the other side of this break, we are going to have a Super Bowl hero, not right here at Buffalo Wild Wings, on the phone from Missouri. You'll find out who that is if you didn't hear the beginning of the show right after this.
The third greatest Super Bowl play, Mike Jones' game-saving tackle.
Heap of ooze and fandom, and you couldn't believe what you just saw.
Brings us to the goal line. No, he falls at the one.
Mike
Jones saving St. Louis, to me, that's the stuff of backyard dreams. That is a beautiful tackle, and he saved the day. That's the kind of thing that I always dreamed about as a kid. Good for him.
Mike Jones' play is so amazing is that you have the greatest show on turf. They would not have won their Super Bowl without a great defensive play.
Mike Jones won the Super Bowl for that high-powered offense over on the other side and gave Dick Vermeil and Kurt Warner a spot in football history. This is a huge play.
Joining out of line, a longtime guest of the show and Super Bowl legend, Mike Jones. Mike, that piece you just heard was the NFL Network calling the tackle the number three all-time play in Super Bowl history. It's been 17 years, brother. What do you feel now when you hear that?
You know what? It still seems like it was just yesterday. It's like I said, every time you hear it, you would think it would get old, but it hasn't. Especially after seeing, seeing one of our guys, Kurt Warner, get inducted into the Hall of Fame yesterday. You know, it's just all those different things just bring back great memories.
Yeah, Mike, we've probably been on talk shows 10 times together now, and the one question I don't think I've ever asked since the tackle, it happened, you know, as we mentioned, 17 years ago. Tell me this, what is the longest period of time that has passed in your life since that game that play and that game hasn't been talked about? How many days goes by?
You know what, I was living in St. Louis for a while, so it was almost, you know, every other day. It may have been a week or so. And it was ironic because when I moved to Baton Rouge, the coach one year, it was probably, I think it was about 10 years after the game, and it was still remembered. You know, guys asked I play, and I tell them my name, and it was like, name sounds familiar. Like, who'd you play for? And I was like, I played with the Rams. And a lot of times they're like, you the guy that made the tackle. And I was like, yeah. So it's been talked about. It's been, like I said, probably a couple weeks at most, especially right around this time. I talk about it probably on a daily basis.
Mike, of course, you were part of a Super Bowl team that was able to get a first. What I mean is it was the first championship in franchise history, and, of course, it had to mean a lot. And obviously the first championship in St. Louis history. What do you think the feeling is going to be, and what do you think the Atlanta Falcons are thinking right about now, that knowing that they're on the precipice and they have an opportunity to bring the first ever Super Bowl championship to Atlanta?
You know what? Those guys aren't thinking about that. I mean, I really think, you know, when you're dealing with, you know, they're in a different situation than we were. See, both teams, it was the first time for one of the teams is going to play to win a Super Bowl compared to what Atlanta and New England. You know, New England's been there, done it. Atlanta's excited. They've been one time. You know, I'm interested to see this, and I think, and I'm not for sure, is Atlanta the visiting team? Do you know if they're the visiting team?
I believe they are the visiting
team. Yes, they are. Yep.
Well, I'm going to tell you what's
New England
ironic.
New England was a higher seed.
Yep. We were the home team, but we were the visiting team in the Super Bowl, but we were the number one seed in the NFC, so we had all home games. So it's going to be a strange dynamic going to happen. Those guys haven't had to call the coin toss. So when we walked out to the coin toss, this was our first time had to decide what we were going to call. Me, Kurt, and London Fletcher are arguing over who's going to call it because no one wants to call the coin toss at the Super Bowl. So, you know, it's going to be some different things that happen that they're not used to. But they got a young team. You know, it's an exciting team. You know, I think, you know, are they thinking about the Patriots? Absolutely. But I think they're so young that they're going to go out and try and figure out what's best for them. And I hope the big light's not going to get the best of them.
He is Mike Jones, who played linebacker for 12 years in the National Football League for the Raiders, Rams, Steelers, and he won World Bowl II as the starting middle linebacker for the Sacramento Surge. But without question, when you say Mike Jones and you're talking football, the first thing you think of is the tackle, the hero of Super Bowl 34. Mike, kind of elaborating on what we just talked about a little bit, before I get your take on Super Bowl 51, let's take a look into the minds of the players. It's less than 7 hours before kickoff of the biggest moment of your life. What are you doing, and what is going through your mind right now?
Well, I mean, every guy gets ready differently. I mean, I know before the game, the night before, we talked, you know, we had Randy Cross talk to us with the 49ers, who actually played for Coach Bill in college. And then, you know, he talked about there's going to be a guy on your team that's going to make a play that a lot of people other than yourselves know, you know, that don't know. You know, and then he talked about, you know, the excitement, trying to get some sleep the night before the game. And, yeah, I mean, it scares me if a guy says I had a good night's sleep, because I'm like, okay, if you had a good night's sleep, then I'm trying to figure out why you're not worried about who you're going to play against. So, you know, a lot of guys going to be, you know, they had a rough night sleeping last night. I know I did the night before the game. You know, you try and take a nap, you know, and you don't get the nap when you want to. You probably fall asleep. It's almost like you have insomnia. You're trying to go to sleep, then you finally doze off, and it's time to get up to go through your pregame meal. So, you know, it seems like it takes forever, and then all of a sudden it just gets on, you know, you're getting on basically a expressway going 100 miles an hour, probably at about 5 hours in. Because now you're warming up, and then when you go out on the field, and this is the thing about the Super Bowl that a lot of people, you know, it kind of shocks you a little bit. You know, you warm up, and you used to, you know, maybe having a celebrity here or there at a game. You walk out on the field, and you jog, and I remember this thing. I'm jogging. I had to stop. So I turned around and looked. It's like, is that Samuel Jackson? You know, you just see things that you don't see before but in pregame. You know, they have all these celebrities, you know, all these different people on the field that haven't been there before. And so you got to get used to that. And then there's so many more people on the field. You know, and then you got everyone out there warming up because everyone wants to be ready to go when the game starts. So it's just a lot of different things, a lot of different dynamics. It goes to really slow to really fast within 2 or 3 hours.
You know, it's funny, Mike. You're a defensive guy, right? And you expected that matchup in your Super Bowl between the Rams, of course, the nickname, you know, the greatest show on turf, going up against that Tennessee offense. You would have thought there had been fireworks. Wasn't the case. The game started out basically, it was three field goals, I believe, in the first half. And defense played a big part in that game. You look at this matchup today, and very similar. You have the Atlanta Falcons, number one offense in all of football. We've seen the New England Patriots have no problem scoring points in this game. So, of course, I guess you're going to expect that maybe somebody in the defensive side of the football for both these teams will have a factor in this game tonight.
Absolutely. I really look at this. I think both teams move the ball extremely well from 20 to 20. You know, and that was our deal. If you looked at our game, we moved the ball from 20 to 20. The issue was we couldn't score a touchdown. And I think, you know, when you look at both these teams, Atlanta runs the ball extremely well. That helps you with the inner red zone, and so does New England. You know, we ran the ball well, too, but, I mean, Tennessee just did a great job. They played phenomenal red zone defense against us, and that's what kept them in the game. Because other than if we score one touchdown in the first half, it's 16-0, and it's a totally different game. 9-0, they're two scores. There's two scores from coming back. We get up 16-0. They got scored three times on us, and it's a totally different game. But you know, I take my hats off to, you know, the Titans then. They played extremely well, and they played exceptional red zone defense. You know, and I thought, you know, I don't think we get enough credit as a defense as the Rams for how well we played. We were the number one defense going into week number 16, and we don't play the second half, and Philly scores 31 points and goes up and down the field on our guys that weren't starters. You know, we go from the first to sixth rated defense in the NFL. And then we go six quarters, but we don't give up a touchdown, you know, in the playoffs, in the NFC Championship game and in the Super Bowl. So, you know, I thought both defenses were good when we played. And I think that Atlanta plays good defense. I think New England plays phenomenal defense. And it's going to come down to who executes the best and who keeps those guys, who makes the team, the offense kick field goals compared to scoring touchdowns.
Okay, in the opinion of Mike Jones, what happens in Houston today and why?
Well, you know what? When I was up until Saturday, and I didn't know this. This was a number I didn't know. I did not know the Patriots hadn't scored a touchdown in the first quarter in any of the Super Bowls. And Atlanta is, you know, they are hot. So if Atlanta is able to score early, there's going to be problems for New England. I like New England because they've been there. You know, this is their seventh Super Bowl under Belichick. You know, he does a phenomenal job of getting those guys prepared. But, you know, sometimes, you know, with a team like Atlanta who has, you know, a mature quarterback, a lot of young guys who really are excited about playing, a very talented team. I mean, they remind me a lot of other Rams in 99, you know, offensively, moving the ball over the place, able to run the ball, throw the ball. You know, I'm going to go with the Patriots just because the Patriots are, you know, they've won four times. They got more experience, but it's going to be a close one. I think, like I said, it's going to be under 60. If I'm looking at it, I'm thinking maybe 27, 21, somewhere around in there. You know, they're going to score points, but then I think New England's going to play enough defense, and Atlanta's not going to score enough to win the game.
Hey, I'm right there with you. I say defense wins championship. The number one scoring defense versus the number one scoring offense is 4-1 in Super Bowls. Tom Brady, 7 Super Bowls. Belichick, 7 Super Bowls. Quinn coaching in his second season. And Matt Ryan, 3 playoff victories, 2 of them coming this year. I like the Patriots. I'm right there with you. Mike Jones, he is, was, and always will be a Super Bowl legend and a welcome guest on any show I'm a part of. Hey, listen, Mike, take care, my friend. I know you're involved right now with the American Cardio Group. I was excited to read about that. I checked out the website. And, hey, I look very forward to hanging out with you here next year for Super Bowl 52.
There you go. You know what? I didn't realize Super Bowl 52, that's a pretty good number. So it'll probably be great in Las Vegas.
We are going to have a good time next year, I promise you, man. That is Mike Jones. We appreciate you. And, hey, we're going to take a quick break. We are coming back with the head coach of the UNLV Rebels, Tony Sanchez, right after this.
This is a 40-yarder from the left hash mark to try to win it. There's the snap. The ball is spotted. The kick is on the way. It has the distance. The kick is good. And the Rebels have won this unbelievable game by a score of 69-66 in not one, not two, count them, 3 overtimes. The Rebels are going bananas. Oh, baby, what a win for the Rebels.
That was an absolutely exhausting game. Wyoming's a good football team. Coach Bowles doing a really good job. It's always hard coming on the road, and keeping that momentum going. I thought our guys did a really good job. We've talked about it a lot over the last few weeks, starting fast, playing focused, and making plays. We made the switch at quarterback, and really, really proud of this guy to the left of me. He did a great job of leading us. You know, and it wasn't always pretty. You know, everything here, it's hard. I mean, that's part of building a program. You gotta go through the hards, and we've been through some of these overtime and come up short, so... To be able to come up and get this one against a really good team is a big deal for us. It's another brick in the building process, you know. And it's one of those deals where, kind of funny. Sometimes it gets frustrating because, everyone's so quick to say, oh, what's happening? They don't really understand building and what you need to do to get a college football program moving in the right direction. And it's staying the course. It's not listening to the outside noise. It's keeping everybody on track.
You know, I've lived in Las Vegas since 2004 and have attended a fair share of UNLV football games. But without question, my favorite game was that Wyoming game last season. The Central Michigan comeback a couple of years ago wasn't too bad either at Sam Boyd, but that was the best. Joining us live here at Buffalo Wild Wings in the Montecito Crossing Plaza is UNLV's head coach, Tony Sanchez. Coach, first and foremost, I want to congratulate you on the contract extension you just got last week.
No, I appreciate it. Yeah, that's a big deal. Again, in the building process, kind of solidifying things and just creating some stability in the whole program. But it's good to be here with you guys, Buffalo Wild Wings, Super Bowl Sunday, great American holiday. Should be, right?
Absolutely.
Everyone should get Monday off.
Seriously. Listen, before we talk about new recruits, the 2017 season, or even the Super Bowl, I want to know, had you ever been involved in a game like that one against Wyoming?
That was pretty wild. I mean, not to that extent of the triple overtime. I've been in some games, went down to the wire before. I've been in some overtime games before, but nothing like that. I mean, 69-66, last second. I mean, and even the way it ended. I mean, you got all these injuries during the game, right? So you've got your backup long snapper snapping to your backup kicker to kick the field goal. It's like 42 yards. I mean, you couldn't plan that. That was a wild deal. So that was great to go through. Don't want to do it again.
We're in a situation now, of course, you as a high school coach, you've been able to see from beginning to end, building a high school program from San Ramon when you had an opportunity to go from a team that was really down the dumps to a great team. Now you're in the college ranks. What's the experience been like, particularly from a recruiting standpoint, now that you're actually, you know, in the process and getting a chance to build a college program like you are?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's kind of funny. There's so many relative aspects to it. You know, I mean, again, you go back to Cal High when I was in San Ramon and just, you know, getting the community involved, getting, you know, understanding, you know, the whole culture that you have to create there and flipping that. And then you get into Gorman, you know, and that's a team that had a lot of talent, wasn't very disciplined, won title in 25 years, you know, and just taking a talented group and going ahead and doing the same thing and reinvolving the community and reinvigorating it and, you know, getting it to be more disciplined and getting that culture of competition going. And then you come into a place like UNLV, and now that's a place, I mean, we just hasn't had any sustained success at all. So, again, what have we done? We've reached out to the community. We've got them involved. You know, we're creating this culture of competition and excellence. We're going out and we're recruiting guys that identify with the type of attitudes that we want to have around there. And, you know, and it's just keeping them disciplined, you know, all the time and having them understand that there's a process you got to go through. And it's 365. It's not when you feel like it, you know. And then that's things starting to take hold. So we're excited about it. You know, I mean, it's heck, you would have loved to have been able to snap your fingers and get it done right away. But I'm proud of the guys for the way they've competed. Now I think we're a more talented roster. I used to tell them all the time, hey, take a knee after practice and say, guys, we're not very talented. If we're going to win football games, we got to be damn near perfect. And that was the truth. You know, they didn't want to hear it, though. I mean, I remember at times they'd say, coach, you know, hey, when you say that, hey, I always say, if I tell you the truth, will you still be my friend? You know, a lot of people don't want to hear the truth. I'm a very truthful guy with our guys. And now we're getting to the point where we are a talented team. We have some guys. There's no excuses now. So now it's about us lining up right, doing the little things right, doing a great job in the offseason, whether it's spring ball or the weight room or eating right, you know, taking care of some of those stressors that are going to affect us during the year academically. And, you know, so our guys are getting to a point now where I believe that they can actually go out there and compete for high-level success.
Along those lines, UNLV head football coach Tony Sanchez here with us at Buffalo Wild Wings. Coach, you lost some pretty good players on a team that went 4-8 last year. Leaders on both sides of the ball, like center Will Kreitler, and, of course, linebackers Tau Latulele, Ryan McAleenan, and a good portion of your secondary. Can you replace those guys and grow and, more importantly, improve at the same time?
Yeah, I mean, you can. You hate to lose guys like that. But, again, offensively, we lost one guy in the two deep, really. By the end of the year, you know, I mean, we had both of our tight ends coming back. Andrew Price had gone down to a third string, you know, role. So, I mean, when you look at it, we've lost Will. We went out and got a great guy named Sid Acosta, and he'll fight with Giandre Sanders for that job. So we feel really, really good, especially with that young offensive line. We're the number 15 running team in the country. And then you look at some of the struggles we had in the passing game. Well, you got four, you know, three receivers were out for the year early. Boyd goes out. You play three different quarterbacks. I mean, anytime you're rotating three quarterbacks in and out and you lose all the receivers, you're going to struggle there. But we were physical and able to run the football. So we got to be able to continue to do that. Then you've got, you know, Kurt Palandek coming back, Johnny Stanton coming back, and then Armani Rogers, who we redshirted. And, you know, I'm sure at times people were thinking, God, we got to play him. Nope, I'm so glad we didn't, and we stuck to our plan. So we got a special guy coming back in now. You know, and in the secondary, you know, yeah, we lost some guys, but you know what? I believe we got some young guys that kind of got thrown into the fire a little, you know, earlier than they were ready for, but that's going to benefit us now. And, you know, we struggled. I mean, bottom line is, you know, we've done a – you know, it's kind of funny, you know, when you look at the run game. We first got here 2 years ago. We were giving up an average of 280 yards rushing a game. You're not going to win many games. We're down to 165 now. That's a huge difference. Now, we all know we struggled with the deep ball. We struggled in the passing game. So we've lost some guys. But we got some guys who are going to, you know, come on in and take some, you know, leadership roles and do a really good job there and hopefully make us better there, because bottom line is we just haven't been good there.
Tony Sanchez is our guest head coach, UNLV running Rebels, joining us at Buffalo Wild Wings. It is Super Bowl Sunday, Tony. And what's that mean? It means the Patriots and the Falcons are going at it. Now, you take a look at it. You're an esteemed head coach in your own right, but you take a look at these two coaches. You have Bill Belichick. You know, looks, he's on the verge of being considered possibly the greatest coach in any sport in history. And, of course, you got another young coach on the other side, and Dan Quinn, who, you know, has a ton of respect as well. Your thoughts on these two coaches, and what coaches did you look up to throughout your career? Not necessarily maybe as mentorship, but as somebody that you picked and choose and kind of, you know, it was a sponge when it came to some of their qualities.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, when you look at Quinn, you know what a great job he's done. You know, and he comes from, you know, he comes from that Carroll tree. I mean, he's been around it before. So, I mean, this day's not going to be too big for him because he's been there before. So I think sometimes, you know, we forget that, you know, yeah, it's your first time as a head job, but you've been there. And if you've been around the right guys, you'll be ready to go. Matt LaFleur, the quarterback coach, is a good friend of mine. Talked to him last night. You know, I'm fired up for him. Those guys have done a great job of getting them ready. So it's fun to see that up-and-coming team and a guy making a name for himself in a place like Atlanta, you know, fighting for the first Super Bowl. But, I mean, then you got Belichick. I mean, him and Brady and that combo, nobody's done done it better. I mean, I just you got to have so much respect for not only their philosophy and their branding and what they do, but the way they go ahead and replace and rebuild and repiece. They find guys that are right for their system. And, I mean, I think they're the exact model of, hey, you know, it's not just about going out and getting good players. It's about getting the right players for the right system so you can plug them in. They can help you have success. And I don't think anybody's done it any better. So, you know, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, living in the days of Tiger Woods, living in the days of Michael Jordan, living in the days of Belichick. Hey, we were here to watch it, you know. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what he does. He's one of the greatest of all time, and I don't think anyone can dispute it.
One of the oldest football terms that I remember growing up is always things change, plug and play, plug and play. I would say they are the epitome of plug and play, the New England Patriots. I said earlier we were arguing about, is Tom Brady the best ever? Well, 17 years ago when he started, there's only one player in the National Football League that's left, and that's Adam Vinatieri, that's a kicker on another team. I mean, this guy has been through everything, and to say he's not the best that ever lived, you know, you can't compare through the ages, but I don't know how you cannot put him right there in that conversation. Coach, it's time to put you on the spot. Who's going to win this game and why?
Oh, man, that's a tough one. I think it's going to be a hell of a game. I mean, I don't know. I mean, to me, it's one of those deals where, you know, hey, I'm rooting for my buddy Matt. You know, I really want him to, you know, have success today. But, I mean, you know, we're not allowed to bet, so I'm not going to bet. But I've never bet against the Patriots.
I'm not putting any money on this game myself. I'm just amazed. I've been amazed all week at the spread.
Are you surprised by – look, a lot of Super Bowls, you get hype leading up to it, right?
Yeah.
Or you get some type of controversy. There's bulletin board material. There's banter going back and forth. Really hasn't been the case in this game, right? I mean, between these two teams, there's an element of professionalism, and it really hasn't come to that, right?
Have you
noticed any of that this week going on?
I just say there's a little bit of that, and the drama comes all the way at the top, which you don't usually see. Let me tell you something right now, regardless of what you hear. Roger Goodell has never been a bigger fan of the Atlanta Falcons than he is today. The last thing he wants to do is hand a trophy to Robert Kraft, Bill Belichick, and Tom Brady. Can you imagine Brady wins the MVP award, yeah, and he's got to hand extra hardware to Brady? I don't care how much he smiles. That man has avoided Foxborough like the plague for 2 years since Deflategate, and if you want drama, let the Patriots win the Super Bowl, and you'll see a little bit of drama at the end. They'll be smiling, doing all the pleasantries. Like Coach, they know the politically correct things to say, but as soon as he's done handing those trophies, that guy is going to hightail it out of there so quickly you won't see the smoke from his backside. Yeah. What do you think?
Well, I think it would be an interesting scene to see.
You know? But I got to say, from the outside looking in, you're looking at a guy like Tony Sanchez, one of your strengths, I think, that we all think of is motivation. You're a guy who can motivate a team. So,
no doubt.
I guess my question is there's got to be kind of tough for both Coach Belichick and Dan Quinn to find motivations from negative aspects from either one of these teams.
Well, no, they've both done a great job. I mean, you know, the Patriots are going to have that swag. They've been there before. They've done it before. They're walking that way. I mean, they know the landmines to avoid.
Right.
You know, I mean, they've been there. And then, again, you know, it's one of those deals where you take a new team like Atlanta coming onto the stage, but their coach has been there before. So he's been through the process. It's not like he's a guy who's never been there before or won it before. So, yeah, I mean, I think they bring those leadership qualities there. And that's one of the biggest – in this day and age with social media and the silly things that guys say sometimes and sitting there at midnight on their couch and all of a sudden they have an epiphany and they want to put it out there for everybody.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa, what's going on? So they've done a good job of saying, time out. Let's think about it before we hit send, you know. Mm-hmm. So those are the things, you know, you're always worried about, but you got to talk about it all the time, you know. And I think obviously those guys have done a good job.
No doubt. And it has been as little drama as I've seen in the Super Bowl in recent history. Listen, UNLV head coach Tony Sanchez, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you coming out. Some of our sponsors have prepared a few things for you. We have special football basket from allstargiftbaskets.com, and from Community Mortgage, I have a set of stainless steel knives that come with a lifetime warranty. We're also giving you right here at Buffalo Wild Wings a party for six for you and your family. Wishing you nothing but the best, and I hope those knives have a lifetime warranty. I hope when you're throwing those out, you're doing it still here, right here in Las Vegas, Coach.
Yeah, I will be. I'll be cutting some steaks with them. It'll
all
be
right.
Good.
We appreciate you, my friend. Thanks
guys,
so much.
Enjoy the Sunday. Enjoy the game,
yeah,
Coach. Appreciate
it, guys. Take care.
That's the man, Tony Sanchez, man. Coach of UNLV football out here at Buffalo Wild Wings. We're going to take our last break. We're going to come back. We've got Blazin'. We have Fact This. And, hey, I'm going to try to get to one of the managers here at Buffalo Wild Wings for a second to talk about what's going on here tonight, because this place is all decked out and ready for this evening. You are listening to Out of Line. This is Fox Sports Radio 1340.
This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. This is why. This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. This is why. This is why. This is why I'm hot. I'm hot
because I'm fly. You ain't because you're not. Right? This is why. Hey, listen. It is about
that's smooth as silk right there. I'm not gonna lie to you. That is top notch right there.
You know what? I don't know what to say about the song except I love it, man. I love getting into Blazin'. Listen, I'm gonna tell you my Blazin' right now. Seven players, and not just players, an owner went into the Hall of Fame and got inducted into the 2017 Hall of Fame. All of them deserving. I'm not gonna say one of them wasn't, but somehow a guy named Terrell Owens got left out again. And I don't understand how that can possibly happen. Because the bottom line is, statistically, he is one of the top five receivers in the history of the National Football League. If we are not putting people in based on character, let me ask you a question. Because it's a fact he didn't get in. It is a fact he's one of the top five receivers in the National Football League. And the bottom line is, he's Blazin', man. He's Blazin'. And why he's Blazin' is because he's not in. He should be the hottest guy in the country. If you're not going to put somebody in on character, okay, if you're not going to, then why the hell is O.J. Simpson still in the National Football Hall of Fame? Take his ass out of the Hall of Fame if you're not going to put Terrell Owens in. It is not fair. It's a crime. It's a debauchery. And I'm saying I'm going Blazin' Terrell Owens for not being in the Hall of Fame. And he's also part of fact this, because it's a fact he should be in the Hall of Fame, and it's also a fact he's not on his second ballot. What do you got for me?
I got to tell you, though, it's a debate as far as as far as the whole character thing and being in the Hall of Fame, and I completely agree with you. I
Chris,
think
you
that,
know what he's guilty
no,
of?
No, I'm telling you, I think no, that I know, he should. It should be about the numbers,
you know,
and
really,
about what you do on the field, and that's pretty much
this.
It.
What I, don't, I didn't say is this. What he's guilty of, he's guilty of chronic immaturity. That's what he's guilty of, chronic immaturity, and that's keeping him out of the Hall of Fame.
But the problem is, it's not about Terrell Owens as far as character, because, look, was Terrell Owens getting thrown in the pokey every now and then? Was Terrell Owens
no.
ever – did he ever have any, like, suspensions
saying.
Because, you know, his detrimental treatment from the team or anything like that? No. It was just an opinion or a belief by a lot of people, by fans and by some of the media that he was, you know, that he was a malcontent. But other than that, it wasn't anything as far as, you know, any concrete, like, real behavioral problems that he had that he dealt with.
So
that's why it surprises me.
I want to throw you two names out there and a little food for thought. Tim Brown and Chris Carter, and the wide receiver position when you're talking about Hall of Famers. It's not quite a slam dunk as some other positions. Chris Carter and Tim Brown were two guys statistically in the top five, top ten at their position, had to wait multiple years before they got inducted.
Terrell Owens is better than both of them. I'm sorry, he's better than both of them. Physical stature, that guy was – Chris Carter, unbelievable wide receiver. Unbelievable. But Terrell Owens was better. He was just better. I'm talking about the body of work, the rings that he's got on his fingers from playing – the guy's better. It's just that simple.
Well, a perfect comparison to me is, I think about these two guys, and I don't understand how one gets in and one doesn't. Think of a guy like an Andre Reed, right, for the Buffalo Bills. He gets in, but Terrell Owens doesn't. I mean, it's to me, you take a look at it, you just by the naked eye, and as somebody who's been able to watch both of their careers in full. And I think to myself, are you really kidding me? Like, who's the better receiver out of Andre Reed or Terrell Owens? It's T.O. all day long. But, of course, we have the other quote-unquote issues that we deal with when it comes to the criteria to make it into the Hall of Fame.
Well, next year you have Randy Moss. So Randy Moss, I think, will be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Right.
Now,
yeah.
Okay, if you want to compare who's better, wouldn't you say Randy Moss was probably 1A? Or one, and Terrell Owens 1A. So, I mean, if you want to go on that,
okay,
you
all
look
right,
at
all right. I'm not. Randy Moss also had character issues, and also had a case of chronic immaturity for a while himself in the league. But they are holding the voters. I understand what it takes to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. And you know, Mike Jones. I hope that Kurt Warner made a call to him last night, because Kurt Warner does deserve to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. But if he doesn't win that first Super Bowl and he's 0-3, he's not a first ballot. He's a Hall of Famer, not a first ballot Hall of Famer. So there is a criteria, but I still have problems. I have problems with Terrell Davis, if you want me to be honest with you. One 2,000-yard season, a Super Bowl and a league MVP, about a four-year career, if you want to look at it. Is that Hall of Fame worthy? Come on, man. He was great for 3 years. That's Hall of Fame? That's not longevity. That's not body of work. It's body of work for a short period of time. But, you know, I still want him in. But I'm saying if you're going to put those guys in, Terrell Owens, don't let him wait much longer. The guy was dynamic. He was prolific. He was just suffering from chronic immaturity. So what's blazing in your book?
Well, we're talking about Hall of Famers as far as your blazing. We're not going to talk about Hall of Famers in my blazing because I was down at the Thomas and Mack yesterday and had an opportunity to watch UNLV take on the likes and take on the Colorado State Rams. And it was a performance to be forgotten, to say the least, if you're a UNLV Runner Rebel fan. 69-49, the final score. And, yeah, they won by 20, but it wasn't even that close. It was a situation where the Rebels basically in the second half collapsed from a defensive standpoint, and offensively they could not find the ocean. And so it was just tough to watch as somebody who covers the UNLV Runner Rebels and wants them to do well. To see that performance last night, it was just real tough, Brian.
It was bad. Listen, Blazing is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. 215 in North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza. At Buffalo Wild Wings, you'll experience two happy hours every day featuring $4 apps. The place is surrounded by flat screens and TVs so you never miss a play. Tons of draft beer, spirits, and wine. And, of course, there is no place better in America than Buffalo Wild Wings for wings, beer, and sports. That's Blazing. We've heard fact this. Listen, final thoughts. I want to know you all to know that tonight for the Super Bowl, they've got it decked out down here. They've got everything going on, specials. We'll be down here tonight. I've got so much more to give away. Make sure you come down and enjoy the Super Bowl party. Chris and I will be here. You'll find out who we're cheering for when you get down here. But, again, hey, before we go, I do want to make sure I thank everyone today for the show. This has been great. Of course, I want to thank Buffalo Wild Wings for having us here. We greatly appreciate that. I want to thank Mike Jones, Tony Sanchez, Bubby from Bubby's University, Chris Wynn, Out of Line producer Magnum. We got to thank Brad for coming down here and hooking us up with the remote. And, again, everyone that came out and is listening, we want to thank all of them. And next week, I want to make sure you know, next week on the show, we got Eric Kramer, the former quarterback of the Detroit Lions, and I want—he's the only guy in my lifetime that won a football game in the playoffs. In 54 years, we've won one playoff game. Eric Kramer was the quarterback of that team. He'll be on with me next week, and it's a little special story. I did something when I was covering the Detroit Lions back in the early '90s with Eric Kramer. I talked to him; he remembers it, and I'll share all that with you next week. This is Out of Line. We are here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. on Fox Sports Radio 1340. If you like the show, do me a favor. Tell your friends. If you don't like the show, tell your friends anyway. I'm Brian Feldman. He's Chris Wynn. Magnum's back in the studio. Brad's sitting here. And, hey, this is Out of Line. We'll see you next week. And don't forget, it's the big game tonight, right?
I got the Patriots and the Falcons, baby, going at it. I'm fired up.
We're out. We'll see you next week.